Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
All right, week 4 of The Grind. Eric Vanek, we're back as always. I'll be honest, today I'm running late, crazy day over here, but listen, we show up even when we don't want to. That's part of the grind. Speaking of which, we did show up last week as well, Eric. We are sitting 4-2 now, right? And going into our matchup today, we've already had, I think, Kenneth Walker play, right, on Thursday.
Yeah, yep.
So we got, we got his game out of the way. He had a solid day. He out-touched Charbonnet, but Charbonnet got the touchdown. Going into this week, anything, you know, comes to mind for you or for our team before we start getting into the meat of this, man?
I was just looking back on last week's matchup a little bit. Like, you know, most of our guys did perform other than, like, Chase Brown. T. Higgins didn't do very good, but...
Yeah.
We got a big game from Lamar. James Cook did good. A.J. Brown finally showed up. Our Chickaconquo start paid off.
Finally got the tight end position right, right?
Yeah, Rashad Bateman actually is alive, but we didn't
alive,
start him.
So alive, and we'll talk about it this week, too, for sure. Tootin got in the end zone. I think what's crazy is, though, outside of the – so T. Higgins and Chase Brown, right, obviously were huge letdowns last week, and their stock moving forwards, I think, in a little bit – I'm not going to say it's in jeopardy, but it's concerning, I'd say, right? But everybody else, I think – did a decent job for us. I think Dak, obviously, the injury to CD definitely hurt. But overall, our squad was decent. A.J. Brown had a big game. And I was actually going to ask you, going into this week, transaction-wise, there's still not probably a lot. Not really much to talk about, I think, in a lot of leagues because there's, you know, there's been people to pick up, right, potentially. But they're just not that big of stories or names, realistically. And the majority of leagues that are long rosters and – we also haven't hit what comes next week. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but week 5, when the buys start happening and more injuries, I think, start picking up, you might get some more bodies to look into in the waiver wire. But right now it's been pretty slim.
Yeah, and then another thing I just checked out real quick, we have 6 teams at 4-2. The top 6 teams are all 4-2.
Interesting crazy dynamic, yeah. It was interesting, too, because in our matchup, you talk about the league median, right?
Yeah.
So we were ahead of the league median by a little bit, but our opponent, I saw this super buff cherry, that's shit talking Metro, was at 163.59 where the median was 163.68. So
he got two
losses there. So that was tough for him.
Crazy.
Yep, so cuz he was 6-0 or he was 4-0, I'm sorry, going into this that game.
Yeah, he was the number one team going in. And we
still is by points four, but we, as you said, we have a four. Is it four way? Oh, 5-way tie. Six way tie. There's a six way fuck fest, as we would say at the top there.
Yeah, so, it's the Colts tight end room.
Yeah, geesh. We'll see which guy to start this week. Hopefully, it's best ball. Speaking of our matchup, do you want to get into our team and then look at our matchup first?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Let's do it. So I think we could have a a conversation at quarterback this week. So obviously we can start Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think he's pretty set it and forget it for us, right? But
we could have a conversation.
So let's talk about it, right? So we got Dak Prescott on the Sunday night game versus Green Bay. Green Bay, I think one about this game, obviously, is the big, inherent discussion of Parsons on the other side of the field, right? And then, obviously, that Green Bay defense is, they're no joke, man, honestly. So, as you can see.
No CD Lamb.
As you see there, first Green Bay. They got him currently second against the pass. But they're that's technically stats against the quarterback, right? You look at Flacco, though. Flacco plays at 1 o'clock, and they're playing at Detroit. And then we have Stafford at the 4:05 window versus the Colts. Well, let me just ask you this. So, we have a conversation to be had, I think, definitely. Do you... Is it a three-way consideration, or are you down to two?
I think it's a three-way consideration. You could talk me into Flacco, but I think I'm more leaning towards Stafford at home against Indy, who I don't think has really been tested in the passing game. Like, I don't think they have anybody that can really cover a Puka and a Davante Adams, to be honest.
Yeah, when I said that, it's funny, because I was wondering if you were going to try to convince me on Flacco. And not that I would be opposed to starting him if I had to. I just, at the moment, Stafford and Dak were definitely my two that I was down to. So when you say that, here's what I'll say. Especially now with CD's injury to Dak. Dak's having to deal with the CD injury. This is one of those spots that actually is kind of tough to be in, where you're having to make the game and decision, right? The decision-making process start-sit between two now probably similar assets at the position. So here's what I will say. I think the weapons are better at the moment with CD out for Stafford. I don't think he has necessarily the crazy highest of ceiling because he doesn't rush, right? But I'll say watching him for – I wasn't very concerned about the back injury, to be honest, because he's been dealing with this for a while now, on and off. But I will say he's looked and moved very well in the pocket. Actually, it was some like advanced metrics. What they're asking him to do with a lot of the play action, he's one of the top in the league as far as like overall movements, basically between fake handoffs and all that in the backfield. He's looked good doing it. I think with the Davante Adams healthy in this game versus the Colts, especially where you say what you want, there's enough of a sample size at this moment to say the Colts have punted the ball one time. Right, they're going to put points up is what it looks like, what we can go off of at the moment.
Yep.
There's only one team that isn't anywhere near that. That's the Colts. Every other team, even the best or the worst, 7 punts. So I think they're going to actually have to score some points in this game. To me, it's definitely Stafford that I lean. The problem is, I'm not trying to discount Dak completely. Like, it's just if I had to make the decision, I think with what we know, Dak's had some bad breaks already. He's been a guy that's had some bad breaks the last few years. But, man, it's just I look at the situation, no CD, right? In this Green Bay game, I could see like it was 13-10 last week versus the Browns. I mean, there's no guarantee this is going to be a high-scoring affair.
Right, yep.
So that's what I lean Stafford, but I'm willing to go either way of those two personally.
I'm throwing Stafford in right now, so let's go Stafford.
Bam. All right, Stafford is in, as you can see. Okay. Rest of the lineup, because I think that was, to me, that was the glaring like conversation to have of our lineup. But I do think there might be even I don't know how much you want to play the game of trying to predict when Shoddy B is going to go off. But, he was much more involved this last week, and they are playing at Kansas City. So I don't know if he's in consideration for you, but let's just go through the lineup one by one, start to finish, sure, and see what we want to do. So obviously Lamar's locked in. James Cook's about to set it and forget it as they have. I think A.J. Brown to me is definitely that way as well. T. Higgins, most of my teams, there's no way I can sit him. I don't have options to just sit a T. Higgins. Golden, I think.
Yeah, I've sat him in a couple leagues, to be honest, but that's because I have some pretty decent options. Like,
yeah, some nice.
I think my closest one is what we have. Honestly, I threw Golden in over Higgins in a couple of my leagues. So
now, see, there you go. If you're, I guess this is the other thing to keep in mind. This is a start. What is it? 12.
Yeah.
Start 12, right? So, see, the train even knows. Like, yeah, that's a lot of starters. Yeah. So when you're at that point, unless you just have a goon squad, you probably don't have guys that are clearly ahead of T. Higgins. Now, in a start 9 or start 10, right. maybe you could make that decision. With what right. we have, don't think I'm sitting T.
No,
although he scares me. I think Golden scares me a little bit too, but I will say what I saw last week to me was what we talked about actually on this episode the week prior was, man, I'm looking for a little bit of life, and he showed that to me, honestly. He showed more snaps than he's ever played, and he showed more targets than he's ever played, and he actually caught all of them. So I think, to me, the other thing that might be kind of going a little under the radar is the designed rushes for the kid. Two and three the last couple weeks. So, I mean, listen, they drafted him the first round. Hadn't done that in forever, ask Aaron Rodgers, but...
And the Cowboys secondary is fucking Swiss cheese.
It's bad, right? I mean, you would think Jordan Love is ready to have a bounce back game. I mean, Russ just got benched and threw for 450 on this team. So,
in Dallas.
Yeah. So anyway, I think he's pretty locked in. One of the conversations we'll probably have to have, maybe it's a quick one, maybe it's not that warranted, but Janu versus Chig, I think is. We may end up leaning one way or the other more often, but I think it's a conversation weekly, honestly.
Yeah, it's definitely a conversation weekly. I think Chig had a good game last week, and they're just getting him more involved as the weeks go here. I think we keep riding him.
I'm with you. I think what I will say is part of the AWAR tight end life, too, that's nice is like if you play that game, right, inherently if you do it to the most extreme version, What ends up happening is you don't have lineup decisions to make, right? And you just keep playing the best one that you have or the only one that you have in theory. One of the things that can happen when you have too many is you start trying to pick the matchups and you end up going back and forth between two or three players. And you almost, to me, it's almost like I'd rather just go with the player that's we prefer slightly and consistently just take those points as opposed to trying to play the game of figure out who the hot hand is and constantly kind of miss pop weeks from either one. I'd almost rather just get Chig in there. If it's a down week, it's a down week, but catch his pop weeks, or the same with Johnny, whoever we would go with. And I'm with you at the moment, man. I think Chig is in this offense, one, they're going to be trailing a ton. It's only six targets, man, but that led them in targets last week.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to be trailing in this game because the Houston Texans are so fucking dog shit.
True.
But I think it's at least a competitive game to where, you know, Chig's like their number two passing option. So I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's if you don't have good options, I think for the middling or late tight end targets that you could have drafted this year, I think it's hard to sit him for many of those guys. Real quick, let's just take a look at Janu. Also, by the way, he does have the questionable tag. I think he's going to play, but he has this, I think it's a hip injury. So, when I look at his game log, though, it's, you know, he played a lot of snaps last week, which was interesting, but man, it's just – we know Arthur Smith likes him, but it feels like it's going to be hard to predict, you know, the volume to be consistent.
Plus they use three tight ends, and if he's dealing with a little bit of a hip injury, I could see them reducing his snaps a little bit. So,
yeah.
We know Chig's going to play 75% of snaps. So.
Yep, I'm with you. So I think Chig pretty easy there, just because we're going to continue to play him. Listen, Chase Brown, I think Chase Brown's scary hours are here. It's kind of an asset at the moment. You kind of have to just ride it out, I feel like, because I think the sell price is...
Yeah, we don't have anybody else to play over him.
Well, not even that. I'm meaning from just, obviously we're going to play him, but also the, like, you're just kind of at this point with him, you're hoping to see better things in the future coming weeks here, just for, you know, almost like dynasty stock to not completely... get scary hours. Yeah. People are freaking out a little bit about Chase Brown. Jacobs, though, yep. I think in this Dallas game, again, him and Matthew Golden, I'm kind of really – I'm as excited as I could be to start Golden this week. I think that this Dallas defense is really bad. So he's definitely locked in. And
Jacobs
then,
should smash, so yeah.
Tootin and Rashid Shaheed, as well as anything on the bench, are these guys kind of locked in, or do you think there's some conversations to have?
I mean, it's because we have Lamar. I think we could talk about Tootin or Bateman or Shaheed. That would probably be my only conversation.
Okay. Let me ask you, because I'll say this. Buffalo has been scoring, but their defense is also pretty decent. And I don't know. it was a solid game, right? But it's just only because there's he gets volume. He's guaranteed to give you close to 10, right? When you kind of look at it, because he's getting into volume. But it feels like the upside isn't there. That's the only thing here. Bateman's kind of like the opposite story. The upside's there, but I don't know how consistent we're looking realistically here, right?
Right. Yeah, I just don't know if I necessarily trust it with Bateman. Whereas, like you said, like that's the highest over-under of the year so far is the Saints and Bills game.
Yeah.
I think it's like 16.5 or 17.5 now or something crazy. So that signals, hey, the Saints are going to have to throw the ball a lot. So I think we just stick with Shaheed personally.
Yeah, I think so too. Let me ask you this about Tootin, right? So Tootin, it's interesting. The sleeper has down arrow. I don't think that's really the case for the dynasty stock, but at the same point, they bake in probably a lot of just redraft leagues. What's crazy is, I think there's a lot of better days coming, and I think the problem is though, if you just look on the surface, the last 2 weeks have really been the touchdown that saved us putting him in. I think that he's going to continue to get more work, but we look at last week, it's like, man, 17% of snaps when we thought we were maybe going to go the other way. He's still very much in a pigeonholed role. Seems like they only trust him for certain things. They definitely don't trust him in a lot of areas, but when he gets on the field, he's getting the ball. So at Frisco, any concern here?
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Not really. I think he's been fine the last couple weeks. He's gotten the touchdown, so that's good. I just don't know. I mean, I guess we could play Bateman over him, but...
No, I'm not even advocating for that. I'm just, you know, I feel like he's not necessarily a lock, but I'm with you. I think we play Tootin.
Yeah, I mean, last week wasn't very good because he didn't do any receiving work. He just got there on that lucky touchdown. So
yeah, I mean, the good news is there though. That was definitely very much in the red zone, right? Where he got the rock. He was right on the goal line. But
I mean, honestly, if you just kind of look at his work, I think it's kind of worth having the conversation of Bateman or
no, I'm all about having the combo. I lean Tootin just because I feel like I think this Jags team is kind of weirdly, while their record may not reflect this, they're searching for answers and Cohen's trying to get them going. And I think this is Cohen's guy. I feel like there's a big pop week in order, but it probably isn't something to be predictive of until we see the work kind of go up. But I won't be surprised one of these weeks if he does have a significant workload increase, you know?
I think another conversation we can have is, I mean, Tootin without, you know, 8.8 last week, and that's with the touchdown. And
Jonnu?
Jonnu, yeah.
Yeah.
Like 1.75 premium, like... Mm-hmm. He's been getting that just about every week, and I feel like there's a little more upside there with Jonnu. I think Jonnu might be the safer play of everybody that we mentioned.
I agree with that. here would be my pushback this week. I actually, you touched on this though. See, if he may be fine. They just had to report the injury, right? But in a situation where you have alternate options at the tight end position, it's a long season. I know they're going to get ready to go into a bye week, but I could see it where they just, you know, don't get crazy with his workload. You know, let's get the hip right going into the bye week. If it's anything, now I'm not going to say super serious, but if there's any real substance to this injury, you could definitely see his snaps decrease, which then maybe the safety's not there.
What do you think about Ollie Gordon with his snaps last week?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to before we got out of here. Here's what I'll say. I'm not completely opposed to it, but I'm kind of the mindset that I'd like to see it one more week before I'm having to believing and putting him in. Because you look at the first 2 weeks and the difference really is only the actual touches he got. The snap share, truthfully, is kind of similar. But he did get, not quite 10 touches, but close to it, and he got the touchdown. I think at the moment I would definitely – he's like stock up. He's on my radar, but I'm kind of not ready to have the let's throw the kid in there yet.
Okay. How about this? Let's take a look at our matchup this week, and then we can kind of decide from there. Do we need an upside play to go that route, or can we go conservative? So let's do that.
I love where your head's at. All right, so let's go through it. And we have so basically our lineup is at the moment intact. We have Tootin's kind of on the clock though as we go through this, right? So
yep.
Lamar Jackson,
projected close matchup.
By the way, it's 177 to 186. This is after Kenneth Walker basically got exactly what his projection is. So close matchup. Lamar at KC, he's got Herbert going versus the Giants, speaking of bad defenses. Cook and Achan. We got Kenneth Walker versus the Rhino. I will say this one is very interesting to see.
I don't love the Rhino this week.
I mean, you'll see here if you're watching the video with this. It says he won't be disciplined by Vrabel for the fumble issues. However,
that doesn't mean they don't fucking sit his ass and play Travion and Gibson.
Right. One thing is true is that, I mean, if you kind of read between the lines, I mean, are you saying the punishment's out of the way? Because you look at last week and we know he got punished for it, right? He played 36% of snaps, which has not been what it was the week 2 weeks prior. But I do think there's a, we're deferring to the veteran. And when you defer to the veteran, it's because the guy's, he's a pro. He does what he's supposed to do. He's trying to show the rookie. The moment that kind of gets thwarted, where you're doing mistakes that are, notoriously, this is what you get benched for.
Right.
Scary. I mean, it is what it is. Carolina's also, while they only they gave up 0 points last week, that defense I don't think is very good. The receivers, though, we got Puka versus A.J. Brown. But the big one, obviously, Pickens, while solid and upsized every week, could be in for increased workload. We'll see how that goes. And then he gets a big one back versus us. Not just Pickens with no CD, but Addison is back this week. We'll see how that looks versus Pittsburgh. And by the way, that is, I think, the international game, right?
Yeah.
Where are they at? Is that London?
Ireland,
okay. So they're in Ireland.
So the one interesting thing here, too, is he has both Puka and Pickens, and we have both quarterbacks, Dak and Stafford.
Yep, good catch. And I was going to say that about Pickens, and I hadn't even thought. You're right. When we throw Stafford in, it doesn't matter. Whichever way we go, we're going to have one of the
top receivers. I think, Rippin, if you're listening to this, I would just bench Puka this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, since we're starting Stafford, just kind of
This is probably Adams week for sure,
Yeah, this is a 2-2 Atwell week, so yeah, go ahead, sit Puka.
Now, this is what I'm calling the big three from Rippin. Say what you want about it, but in the heavy tight end premium, we got Kincaid and Njoku and Henry out there where not necessarily a sexy thing to see. But, I mean, probably a decent floor play, and I don't know how much the ceiling's there, but you could have worse options in this league. You got Wandale Robinson. I will say this, too. I like Jackson Dart's getting the keys. I think, based on what we saw with Russ, we saw upside in week two, right? But we also saw really scariness in week one and three. So hopefully that's good things for neighbors and the offense in general. But I think early on, first start in the NFL, we could see some growing pains, especially, dude, this Chargers defense is fucking nasty. They're athletic as hell. So Wandale, PPR monster, we'll see. He probably gets some checkdowns, but I'm interested just to see how that game looks with Dart in the lineup. Darnell Mooney and then Penix looking to get right off of their week last week. So when I look at it, man, I think let's just look at the bench to see if he has any clear. No. I think he's probably rolling with what he has in the lineup. There's really no one on the bench to even really consider putting in. So
yeah, I mean, he could go. Mariota's projected more over Penix, so he could maybe make that switch. But
yep, he could. We'll see. That's true, actually. That's a good call. I was actually looking at. It's funny. I was looking at the skill players. When I see the skill players, there's not even a debate. So he could put the Mariota in for Penix. Overall, nothing about his lineup is going to change very much for me. And I think this is one of those where it's neutral. I feel as though it's a kind of a coin flip game.
Yeah.
It's a good team. He's got some good, matchups and players. But I don't feel like we're in a, you know, we're not in a hole. You know, it's not like Kenneth Walker had a bad game. And, you know, I don't think we need to get crazy with points. So I think if you tell me you want to shoot for the upside, I'm with it. But I don't think it's like we have to shoot for upside, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Man, I'm kind of, I can make cases for all three guys.
Yeah, I know. All right, so let's simplify the list. This is what I always like to do. If I have lists and I have options and I have kind of do a pros and cons, I don't know if we have to do all that necessarily, but that's what I normally do when I have choices in life, is I go through a pros cons list and kind of narrow it down one by one.
Yeah, another thing I like to do is go to Fantasy Pros and just kind of look at their weekly rankings and see if, like, there's something there where I'm missing it. Like, they have, like, Bateman or somebody rated a lot higher, so I'm going to look through that, too.
Yeah, anything, maybe something that we overlooked on the surface. I can get behind that.
Yeah, so
I'm always a fan of, you know.
So they have Rashid Shaheed 56th at wide receiver this week and Bateman at 61.
That sounds about right. Here's what I'll say. I mean, that those rankings are pretty similar, right? I think if we have the conversation, let's bring in everybody into the mix real quick, though. Because if we go conversation with those guys one-to-one, it's a shot. Do we take the upside shot? And that would be Bateman. And if we don't want the upside shot, we want more safety, it would definitely be Shaheed.
Well, I think this is between Tootin, Bateman, and Jonnu for me.
Right. Oh, okay. Oh, you're saying no, Leach.
I think Shaheed's a lock.
Okay,
just because
cool.
They're going to be down.
All right, well, yeah, that's good. I was going to get to the point of probably leaving Shaheed in there. So I thought we were just having a conversation with all four people. So if we're between three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can, yeah.
No, if we're between three, let's just go ahead and put Shaheed in there. That makes it, simplifies it even better. So if we're between Tootin, Bateman, and Jonnu, I think Bateman's a ceiling play. I think probably the ultimate ceiling play is Tootin because of the opportunity he has in front
of
him.
He's RB39 for their ranks.
Let me ask you this. Right now, if you had to say, who do you think – it's probably hard even between him and Bateman, because the thing about Bateman is that if it gets to a shootout in this Chiefs game, he obviously has huge pop week potential just because both these teams could score 40 and you wouldn't be shocked. Chiefs aren't playing that great right now, but you could definitely see any time they could do that. I think Jonnu's a floor play. So look, I think here's what we got to have the conversation. If we want to go with a floor play, you put Jonnu in there. If we want to shoot more for upside, we kind of cross Jonnu off and we put Bateman and Tootin on the clock.
Yeah, I think based on our matchup, I think we go Bateman.
Okay. Last thing I was going to ask you then about San Francisco before we go, because I'm fine with Bateman in there instead of Tootin. Here's my question. Frisco, how have they been overall against the run? And let's just say, for example, right, he got nine, he got 10 touches, and then he got seven last week. Let's say there was a scenario where he got like 12 touches. Like basically what I'm asking is Frisco's defense pretty stingy against the run so far? And are they good matchups, or like we basically don't want to have any risk here overall?
Right, I'm gonna look it up right now. So give me 1 second, pull it up here.
Sleeper says they haven't been good against running backs, but that also can be a little bit misleading depending on, you know, the teams that are playing players that in multiple.
Right. So here's what they did week one. Charbonnet had 47 yards and a touchdown. Ken Walker had 20 yards.
So not great.
It's not great. No, week two was against the Saints. And
Kamara was pretty locked up, yeah.
He had 99 yards rushing.
Oh, did he?
And six catches for 21 yards.
That was his best game of the year then.
Yeah, and then last week against Arizona, that's when Connor fucking snapped his fucking twig. He had 9 for 22. Trey Benson, 10 for 42. So they've been solid, other than Kamara.
Yeah, I think, I think it's close. I'm with you. It's actually funny. Look at this. The sleeper projection is the exact same. 7.37.
Yeah.
That's craziness. I think all in all, The party, I mean, I think party wants to play Lamar. The running back, but because of the stack and the potential for this game to go higher scoring, it's probably a Bateman start. I think I'm with you. Let's go Bateman. One thing is typically though, let me just look at last year. Not that they're all, this is predictive, but yeah, see, he's always been this like hot and cold guy. Now week 17 yeah. wasn't anything great, but it typically is like if he has a great week, we're set for a down one. I don't want to play too much into that. Let's just put Bateman in. My biggest hesitation is going to be that I think with the two touchdowns back to back, and he's done solid with the work he's got. I don't know that we're going to be able to predict what game it is, but I see pretty soon here a workload increase for the kid. So, you know, you never want to miss out on that. But at the moment, I think it's Bateman. I'm with you.
Okay. All right. Let's throw Bateman in.
And then is there any other questions or conversations we got to have before we roll through the teams and look into week four here?
No, I think our lineup's set now, and hopefully we can get two wins this week.
Yeah, I'm with you. One thing, too, as well, I do like having – now, it's not a primetime game, but I like having a little bit later of a slate, and I like having even the 4 o'clock window where there's less overall games. Basically, 4 o'clock, I'm going to have all those games on in some fashion. Obviously, you're going to have Red Zone on, but it's more there's less distractions from the other games, right? You can kind of just focus in on – like, this game is going to be a big one at 4 o'clock. They might even have the – they probably have the big crew, right?
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Probably Jim Nance and those guys, yeah.
Exactly, yep. All right, so we read your matchup here. Let's go ahead and get through the rest of yous, and we'll get out of here and go see what week four has for us. Oh, my gosh, why will this not click the way I'm trying to click it here? All right, we'll do it the old school way. We got Tim H. Projected right now for 175. He had McBride and Kyler going versus Gritty, who is 1-5 and projected for 150. So looks to be kind of a cakewalk. I don't know. Actually, I just want to take a look here and see. Is Gritty's team? He doesn't have any picks yet. So he hasn't totally like made a decision on going the other way. The moment I see Taj Brooks in the lineup, though, I start thinking like, you know, are we having that conversation, right?
Yeah.
At 1-5,
it's probably not looking not great, Bob.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, he's got T. Law, Breece Hall, Taj Brooks, McConkey, Brian Thomas Jr., Renfro. He's got Hawk, Komet, P.J. Washington, Parker Washington, Marvin Mims, Malik Nabers, and Daniel Jones. Got like the Daniel Jones thing going, but also you know BTJ, Ladd McConkey been off the poor starts, and then Taj Brooks in the lineup not great. Tim H's team is looking pretty solid this week. He's got, at the moment, Godwin in the lineup. That'll be interesting to see what happens for Tampa in that this game with Godwin coming back. Go to the next one here. We got Fresh Scrub versus Chill Will. This one looks to be, you know, a much tighter contested game. So Chill Will already had Cup in the lineup in the wide receiver spot, and Benson was in the lineup for Fresh Scrub. Both of those guys, I think, didn't necessarily deliver, but I don't know if they're quite canceled out, but close. You got Jalen Hurts, Trey Benson, Jordan Mason, Tet McMillan, Chris Olave, Josh Downs, Ertz, Ingram, Calvin Austin, Keon Coleman, A.O. Manor, and then Caleb Williams, who has been hot in the Superflex. Yeah, very good team. You got Stroud, Genty, Bucky Irving, Devontae Smith, Amon-Ra, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Warren, Michael Pittman, Troy Franklin, Ricky Pearsall, Jerry Jeudy, and Jackson Dart now in the Superflex spot. You gotta love if you're Chill Will. Not necessarily 1-5, but getting this early on the Jackson Dart insert. Definitely.
Yeah, because he's been starting random guys in his Superflex, and now he finally gets that quarterback he can throw in there. That's going to be a big boost.
And that's also what's crazy is with the median, right? That's, you know, all of a sudden you start having some games and some wins against the median, and you could get this 1-5 team much closer to, you know, in the contention window. Although we have six teams right now that are 4-2. Speaking of that, 4-2, we got 4-2 against each other. Shit talking Metro versus Brad, 304-009.
1-2.
Yeah. Now, speaking of, so Shit talking Metro had Torrey Horton in the lineup. Dropped two, and then Jackson Smith and Jigba was 13. Brad right now at the moment has a commanding projection lead. We'll see what happens in this game.
Metro lost two quarterbacks, McCarthy and Jaden Daniels, so that sucks.
Yeah, speaking of, someone else, I forget who had Wentz. No, I don't. It's in Brad's lineup as well. So it's just one of those where it's this week it seems like it's catching you on all cylinders. So you got the cards stacked against you. We'll see if you can deliver in this one. Brad's projected 184 and Chautauqua Metro 159. We got Willard versus CM Frank. Zach Willard and CM Frank both 3-3. It's number 7 and 8 teams. We had Marv in the lineup for Zach Willard. Real quick, a weird one where he started off so poor, and it was funny because even Sleeper put out a tweet kind of like, it was a Fantasy Receipts. Scratch that. Fantasy Receipts put out one like basically talking, it was a Marv pro tweet, right? And they, I got to get in on the fun. And then before the game was over, they said, we got to fire the intern who put this out there, kind of like backtracking because he had a great finish. What do you make of that game for Marv? Do you think it's a sign of good things to come, or are you still like very scared off?
I think it's just going to be a lot of inconsistency because I think a lot of it has to do with Kyler. I just don't think Kyler's very good, to be honest.
Yeah. I think it's a sign of good things to come, but I'm with you. I think it's just going to be a roller coaster inconsistent ride, frankly. So
yeah, there's not too much creativity on that like Cardinals offense either.
Yeah, the one positive thing I will take though, obviously the kid, mossing somebody while he's in a bad state is someone you want to have on your team. But 10 targets is, I think that's the biggest thing Mar's been missing relative to the other stud receivers. Like, dude, as a matter of fact, let's just take a look. He's only on a handful of occasions even had double-digit targets, right? So if we can get him to that level more consistently, I think he could be bigger things in store. But that's been the problem, to your point about Kyler. He doesn't throw that much typically, and we've seen him kind of hovering around 6-7 targets, which leads to inconsistency. This matchup projects to be a good one, but CM Frank's team, man, on a projection basis weekly, is just a juggernaut every week. It's like in the 190s, almost 200. He's got Purdy coming back, McCaffrey, Jaylen Warren, Debo, probably gets a little bump in volume, even though it's been good volume with McLaurin out. Drake London, Justin Jefferson, Travis Kelce, Garrett Wilson, DeAndre Swift, Quentin Johnston, Mark Andrews, and Fields. On the flip side for Zach Willard, we got Mahomes, Pacheco, Chubb, Worthy, Derrick Henry, Kyle Pitts, DK Metcalf, Marv, already in there for 18.8. We have Hollywood, we have Tony Pollard, Montgomery, and Baker. So it's definitely leaning CM Frank's way, but there's a lot of football to be played in that one.
Yeah. I mean, he got back Purdy and Fields this week. Otherwise, he was just playing Rattler the last couple of weeks.
Dude, that was
that's a big boost.
The Purdy get back also, Mac Jones has been decent with the offense. It's not like it's been bad, but you hope for a better looking offense with Purdy in there, and it might even help boost McCaffrey. And it's not like, to me, the Jags aren't anything to ride home about on defense.
Right.
Yep. Hillbullies versus Castle Black, 2-4 versus 4-2. Hillbullies team is just I want to say, didn't he get picks from somebody? No, he did not. So he's not off to the greatest start.
Yeah, he's got a lot of. He went pretty much all young guys.
That's right. Now I'm looking at it. The young running backs haven't started the greatest, but arrows up for Judkins now, and arrows up for Hampton for sure. We will see if Trevon Henderson can capitalize on those fumbles as well. But Josh Allen, Amarian Hampton, Trevon Henderson, Jalen Waddle, Khalil Shakir, Josh Palmer, Ferguson is the tight end, Jake Ferguson, that is. We got Quinshon Judkins, RJ Harvey, Dio Johnson, Mason Taylor still in the lineup. We'll see what happens there. Drake May in the super flex spot. Projected 160. Castle Black says I'm here with the 190-something projection as well. Jordan Love and Bo Nix are his quarterbacks. Kyron Williams, Chuba Hubbard, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen's been a gem. J-Mo, Brock Bowers, Dobbins, Juwan Johnson, another gem, and Travis Etienne to round out the matchups for the week.
Yeah, I mean, he's enjoying everyone being healthy. None of his guys have gotten hurt yet, so congratulations.
Dude, I was going to say, the only thing that's happened is Russ got benched, which maybe a little ahead of schedule, but I think we knew was coming. Travis Hunter, obviously a slow start, but man, to your point, Dude, fine. So, for example, this is a perfect example. If you draft Travis Hunter and you draft Calvin Ridley, those are both, like, you know, top 10, 11 rounds for sure, and you feel bad about their start, you're good when you get a Juwan Johnson in this format and you draft a Keenan Allen fucking late as you did. Those are great late picks, man.
Right. Yep. Yeah, really, really good picks for sure.
So back real quickly to the standings. I think that'll be something we go through a little more, especially as the buys come up. And to the point, though, we got CM Frank and Willard at 3-3. We have myself and Eric, at the Cardiac Kids, that we're in fifth place, 505 points. Fresh Grubs, 467 in 4-2 in sixth place. Castle Black is in fourth with 513. We got Tim H at 528. These teams are all 4-2, as we said. Brad, 304.009, is at 538. And at the top, Shit Talking Metro, with a lot of points for, just didn't have a lot of points for last week when we took him down. So he's at 560. I think it's still obviously a very tight race. And the reality is we have a lot of games to determine who's going to go where. And I think, knock on wood, but this could end up getting to be when bye weeks come around, man. Starting as many players as we have, sorry. It's a crazy one.
I mean, now that you mentioned it, I just looked and we got Jonnu on bye. We got both Packers, Golden and Jacobs, on bye next week. Ray McLeod's on a bye. So yeah, we're gonna have some decisions to make, some ugly ones next week.
Yeah, listen, the bye weeks come around and it doesn't even have to be bye Mageddon, so to speak, for the byes to be felt. So next week we'll all start feeling the byes. Definitely our team will be.
And we got three more weeks till we get Rasheed Rice back. So we just got to stay afloat. Just stay in the top six seeds here, or seven seeds, honestly, just until we get Rasheed back, and then I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, we got basically two things to happen. Just continue to, you know, grind it out until we get Rasheed back and, you know, pray. Keep our guys healthy, man, because we got a long season in front of us. But Eric, I appreciate it. Anything else you got want to say before we get about here, buddy?
No, I think we did pretty good. If you're listening to this on Sunday morning, come join us at 12 noon Eastern for Start Sit Show. Always a fun time doing that on the YouTube channel. So come join us for that.
Sounds like a plan. It is always a fun time. So make sure you check out the Start Shit Show as well. Check out the recap. We do the Sunday recap on Sunday nights, and we kind of just, listen, we start the week with content before the week happens. We start as soon as we can give you content about the games. We do that, and the week continues on this podcast feed, in the Patreon, and on the Redraft YouTube channel, the Vibes YouTube channel, and the Dynasty YouTube channel. So if you listen to this, there's a good chance you're on all those platforms, but if you're not, give it a shot. I promise you, if you like this, you will like a lot of our other content. That's where you can find us. And even if you don't do that, we will see you back here. If you can't see us, you'll hear us, same time, same place, next week for the grind, week 5. We're out of here. Peace.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.